Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show underway, powered each and every morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. Enjoy delicious Harvest Ridge today, whether you get it at your workplace like we do here at the Radio Ranch. Oh, it's so nice. It comes all freshly ground, prepackaged. We just put that in and pour that hot water over it, and a few minutes later, you've got delicious coffee. You can do it at your own house, or you can just be out and about and stop by any of the great convenience stores or restaurants that serve Harvest Ridge and have yourself a delicious cup of Harvest Ridge coffee. The guest today is the mayor of Quincy, Mike Trope, and because it's an election season, I do want to publicly say that I'm always willing to have Mr. Dan Brink on the show, too, as they vie for the Republican primary to see who will face off against independent candidate Linda Moore. But today it's the mayor's day, and he's got some exciting news to share because you've been talking with the Illinois Department of Transportation. All the people who are mad at the city of Quincy because Broadway's not fixed, it ain't your road, right?
No, that's right, Mary, but it is on plans to be improved, at least the first from 12th Street going east to 36th Street will be done next construction season. Related to that, the city has to move some of our water main lines that actually are, you know, when it was built, it was a two-lane Broadway.
Right.
And so when it was built, the water mains were under the curbs or near the curbs under the sidewalks. Well, they're in the middle of the road now. So before they go through this major renovation, the state and the city agreed the city will move those water mains to under one of the sidewalks, either north or south. So we're going to go out for bids with that by the end of the calendar year and start that as soon as we can in 2025. As that gets completed, because that's going to be a long project, then the state will come in and do the resurfacing improvements, some of the curbs, the corners, et cetera, from 12th Street to 36th Street. The following year, they are looking at coming back to go from 36th Street further east toward the bypass. And then we'll be happy for Broadway.
Yeah. So you got to get all this work done by the city first. It has to come as a precursor. And so it's imperative that the city get on this because they can't, the state can't move in until you do. Now, it's going to be 12th to 36th in the first construction year, and then 36th and further eastward. What about 12th to the river?
It's actually not in as bad shape. Mm-hmm. There could potentially be some other work, but that's not, you know, where we've got the biggest issues. They will, I think when they come in and redo the bridge at Memorial, you know, that money's allocated. The state's continuing to work through the various phases that they have to for that. Missouri is aware of it and is lining up their participation. So that's going to go. But then 3rd and 4th Street, the recoupling of that is part of that bridge project as well. And I think that will end up impacting some of the west of 12th Street on Broadway, as well as north and south on 3rd and 4th Street.
It's just an ongoing process. It seems like every year there's an orange cone right where I don't want it, but that is the sign of progress. You have to shut things down if you're going to improve it. It is, it's annoying and vexing to people. They want better roads, but we don't ever want to have to not drive on that road for a couple of months. So it is problematic, but I think everybody should just be preparing themselves that the city's ready to go. IDOT's ready to go. This is going to happen. This isn't pie in the sky. This is happening.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of time to get all the engineering drawings. And, you know, there's a ton of driveways along Broadway. It's not like you have, you know, one drive to get into the commercial operations every block. It's, you got a driveway in some sections of Broadway. It seems like every 30 feet.
Well, between Tower of Pizza and Arby's, I mean, you know, it's just like a nonstop driveway.
Yep.
Yeah, it's almost like there's nothing but a driveway there from 25th to about 28th. It's just constant driveway. So this all takes time. It all takes money. But all this money's been budgeted. Everything's ready to go. This is going to happen.
Another road project is, you know, like on 36th Street, when you go from State Street on 36th past Westview, That's another state road that's still being designed, but it looks like they're going to make a turn lane. So there'll be three lanes in that whole stretch, curbs, sidewalks, again, from State Street to Westview. From Westview around that turn to the bypass, I don't believe they're going to have the turn lane, but they will have shoulders, because mm-hmm. there's part of that stretch that comes off of Payson Road that you go off the road. You know, I'm surprised there's not more rollovers. Good thing is people stay on the road, so we haven't had that problem.
Well, it's nice to hear that, because, of course, we've got development out there now. We've got the Range at KC, the Knights of Columbus. You know, they put on big events out there with all their ball games and everything. And, of course, Westview is now got new irrigation system that will be fully running next year. So we anticipate that will be higher use on the Park District. So these are heavily used roads.
Yeah, and I met with Rome from the Park District earlier this week, and he shared that they hit a new record of golfers at Westview this year. Mm-hmm. So it's awesome. I mean, the parks are such a huge asset for Quincy. You know, we have, I think it's 1,200 acres now that Paul Dennis Field is now part of the Quincy Park Districts. And look at what they were able to do in making the improvements out of that facility. So, Quincy's lucky with a park district. And
we're unusual because Hannibal... Yeah. The Parks Department is part of the city. So here, Rome Frerichs and their board is in charge of the parks. Mike Trope has, besides cooperation,
I just get to enjoy them.
Yeah, you just get to enjoy them. But in most of the towns where people are listening, the mayor would be the figurehead for the parks, and it would be part of the city. I personally think part of the reason Quincy has such beautiful parks is because they have a specialized board that really cares, and they have their own tax way to tax.
Yes.
They
yep.
keep it low, but they've got their own way to tax. So times are tough. We need more police officers. So we're going to cut back on our maintenance in our parks. Those are never choices that city of Quincy has to make, because your parks department is run by a completely separate entity, but is widely recognized across the state of Illinois. If not the second most well-maintained and beautiful park system in Illinois. So,
even compared to larger cities like Dallas. Dallas does not
have nothing.
Parks. I mean, they have some green space that a developer may have, but they don't have public parks.
They don't have public swimming pools. It's so interesting. My brother lives in Dallas, as you know. And if you want to go swimming, like your church might have a swimming pool. Or a club you belong to has a swimming pool. But just as far as a park, as far as a place to go and just recreate, very, very few public spaces.
Yep.
It's all owned by somebody, and you have to be a member of that club or whatever.
Or be a friend.
or get in. So we're very fortunate there. So
The last road thing, because it goes through the middle of our town.
Man, roads are everybody's
talking. State Street from 36th Street to 24th Street is a state route. Years ago, they widened the bridge just west of 30th and State. The rest of that road will be developed like that bridge width from 36th to 24th. Then it goes north on 24th Street all the way out of town. And that is going to be a two-year project to redo 24th Street, curbs, sidewalks, gutters, turn lanes, etc. That's going to be a major, and that's going to be done in several phases, but it's something that's also, you know, drastically needed because of the amount of traffic that we have there. So all of the state roads that are in Quincy or adjacent to Quincy are on the repair list. They're all getting a major upgrade renovation, but we're looking really, it's going to be over the next 2 to 6 years.
Yeah, it takes a while, but Broadway is first and then other streets. And I guess, you know, one of the things I like to do at the Mary Griffith Show is try to educate people and myself too, because it is really difficult. Sometimes people are crabbing and complaining about their road and they're complaining to their city councilman, it's a state road. The councilman will be happy to maybe listen to your concerns, but as far as doing something about it, IDOT's now coming in and they've got this big plan, you know, for Broadway, yeah. for State Street, for all these highways, you know, Highway 104. We, you know, nobody calls Broadway Highway 104. We just call it Broadway, but it is Highway 104. And Highway 96, nobody calls, I live, you know, just go down 96. Nobody says that. They use the street name for Quincy once it's in the city limits. So even though these streets are all in the city limits, many of them, they are state roads and they need to be taken care of by the state. So you've got a great, have we exhausted your list? Because that's big advancement.
They go now, but virtually any road, 24th, I mean, that's going to be a big deal. We talked about the bridge. I guess on Broadway, you know, you have 25th and Broadway, the state's bagged the lights.
Right.
We talked to them. We've had a couple residents here in Quincy that they've contacted me. Want to know, gee, they like to walk, and they have friends or relatives on the other side of Broadway. They don't want to have to walk to 24th Street to cross the street. We shared that with IDOT in our meeting last week. I don't know that there's a solution for that. There's not enough traffic is what their preliminary studies are showing to keep the light there. They think it moves the east-west traffic better without creating vehicle traffic issues going north-south on 25th. The other light that we've talked about is closer to downtown at 6th and Broadway. Since they built the new county police and sheriff station, that lighted intersection.
You can't really turn there anymore
right.
because you run right into the jail.
Yeah,
so
we said yes, we've agreed it'd be worth taking a look at removing that light from that intersection as well. So the state's good at listening, and when they finally make a decision, we'll be able to say, did they listen to us and agreed, or did they listen to us and said, oh, we're still going to do what we want?
Well,
here.
As somebody who has very good friend that's a transportation systems designer, yes, they do listen to people, but numbers, stats, these are stats, guys. They go to an intersection, they see how many cars are turning left, they see how many cars are going through the intersection. Things significantly change. Like you said, you know, Broadway didn't change, but we changed the way, you know, I can't turn off 6th Street. You'll run right into the jail. There's nowhere you can go.
Yeah.
I can't come to work that way. So, you know, if I don't turn at 8th, I have to, you know, go down to 3rd, basically. Once things change,
They do.
And, you know, just like putting Target out at 36th and Broadway and putting Raising Cane's out there. That went from being abandoned and empty intersection to now a very, very busy intersection. And those
I can't
things...
wait till Black Friday. See what kind of traffic we get out there.
You're going to have every auxiliary police officer
and, you
working.
Know, you've got Dunham's opening up at that
and
time.
Ollie's today.
Ollie's opened and... So, yeah, Broadway corridor is getting busier.
And Jersey Mike's, you know, Mayor, you may remember, I don't know if you do, that there was a time when I might have been involved in that Jersey Mike's franchise, but it didn't go where I wanted it to go. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was going to be my big retirement plan, was to own a Jersey Mike's.
I've been there. It's
really good.
Yeah,
I mean, you but know, those plans were thwarted. Yeah. Thwarted, I say. But that's the way life goes.
Yes.
My guest today is the mayor of Quincy, Mike Trope. We're talking about big, big road projects that are coming. Most of this is being paid for by the state of Illinois, but the city has to move its water lines and make some changes because you don't want to pave over a street and then have a water service that goes out. I would be remiss probably if I didn't bring up the fact that I guess debate season is underway, although in the old days you used to have a public debate and everybody was invited, and now it's like every little group wants to have their own debate, but that's my personal opinion. I just like to see them have a debate and have, you know, everybody come and see it. But you just recently had a debate with your Republican challenger, Dan Brink. And, you know, we've just got over the presidential election. We haven't seen a lot of, you know, talk about the mayoral race, although it is coming up and the primary is in February, right?
Yeah, February 25th. The primary date. Early voting for the primary starts January 16th.
So, wow, we're just, you know, couple of, you know, 8 weeks away, really, from primary voting. How would you characterize the debate on Tuesday night?
Yeah, I think it was fine. It was the initial debate, so people can get to know the two Republican mayoral candidates. I would have liked to get into more of the business issues facing the city. I think there should be some good discussion there, but hopefully we will have, you know, several more mm-hmm. debates or forums, you know, to get the, you know, word out and to show the differences between the candidates.
Well, it is always interesting. The more you can talk and the more that you can put your platform out, all the better. Because, you know, trying to rely on maybe what your neighbor thinks or maybe what social media says, you know, it's nice to be able to go and have somebody, especially a moderator, you know, or a panel of moderators saying, well, now, you know, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire on this, or I'm going to hold your feet to the fire on that. I was not able to attend the city council meeting Monday night. You may have noticed I was absent. It was probably quieter without me interrupting all the time. I had two choices, Mike.
Uh-oh.
I could cover the Fishing for Freedom event.
Yeah, that was nice, wasn't
which
it?
Which had an open bar. Or I could go to... And I didn't have to drive.
There's
or I could
a hint
go
there, right?
Or I could go to the city council. And I just weighed those options. I said, okay, I can go have a beautiful dinner.
Yeah.
And a nice libation.
Nobody can say you're not smart.
Yeah. And I can be around all these great veterans as they are back in town hunting at Bob Havermill's Camp Havermill. So I just had to decide that I had to give up on the city council. You know, there for a while we were having 90 minutes worth of open speakers at the beginning when the 48th and State Street. What is the update on 48th and State? It's now squarely
yeah.
in the county, and they're
right.
getting ready to change over. They just had
they
their
are.
Election. So
I've talked to the county board member, Dave Bellis, is in charge. He's the chairman of the building and the highway committee. I talked to him on Veterans Day, and I talked to several of the newer county board members after we took the 14-0 vote at the city council that turned that back to the county, and they're taking a look. They will have meetings. They've got to go through swearing their new mm-hmm. county board members in their December meeting, elect the you know, the officers for the county board, and then the committees, some committee assignments may change. You know, it depends who they elect to be in charge of the county. And then I said, I'm willing to go meet with the building committee or the whole county board, you know, with questions and to mm-hmm. go through. We do need improvements at that intersection. And again, what the city council decided is once the county makes the improvements, then the city will be willing to accept the jurisdictional transfer.
Right.
But we don't want to take something that they've owned forever that needs millions of dollars of improvements, and now they're going to transfer it over to us. That doesn't seem, you know, fair to put that burden of one taxpayer to the other.
That seemed to be the controversy that is now behind us, although it could rear its head again if the county board says, now, wait a minute. You know, we've got another way to think about things. You've got to put together a budget. You're running for re-election. What are some of the big challenges that you foresee going forward before we have to get that budget finalized? And the interesting aspect of that is this city council and this mayor will be pretty much putting that budget forth.
Sure.
No matter what the outcome of the election is, that work all has to be done.
It should be in place before the general election, you know, April 1st for that. But, you know, that's part of the day-to-day business of operating the city and the responsibilities of the city council. And we have started the discussions. The first stage is, you know, what is the revenues? How do they look? We know the PPRT dollars, personal property and replacement tax, that's coming in lower than expected. We budgeted less this year than we did the year before, but it's going to come in even shorter than that budgeted amount. We don't know yet what that view will be for next year, but that's a big variable in our overall budgeting process. On the local side, our EAV is looking at going up
But nobody seems to know how much.
Well,
I cover
it takes
the park,
a while.
I know. I cover the park board, and they're like saying 8%. Last night, the Quincy School Board said they're estimating 10%.
Well, 5 to 10.
5 to 10, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm not understanding. Somebody's responsible for setting that. Why does it take them so long
well,
if they know everybody needs it?
Well, they aren't slowing it down, believe me. They've got the numbers, but they're still going through. There's property owners, large property owners, that are saying, you're charging me too much for my property tax. They want to make an adjustment. So they have to go through those hearings one by one. Depending on how those hearings pan out, then they have a final number to say. But I think how we've looked at it, and some of our people have talked to Georgine Zimmerman, who's the county assessor, and Lisa Gasco, you know, with the township. We firmly believe we're going to be somewhere at 7% growth. Okay, that tells you, you know, we have a trigger that if you kept the levy the same, and the assessed values go up, then you're over 5%. So we need a public hearing. That's something that we're working this week to put on the agenda, so the city council can talk, because you have a limited window of when you have to set what your levy amount will be before we even get through all the detail of the expense side of the budget. So we're trying to work through that. We spent quite a bit of time on it this week, and I'm sure we're going to have more conversation, you know, with the city council or at the city council over the upcoming meetings just for this.
Yeah, it. I guess, you know, again, as a layperson, not a business person, certainly don't have as much experience as you do with school board and with now the city of Quincy. I'm just amazed. I go to all these meetings. Well, we think it's 7%. Well, we think it's 8%. We think it's 10%. We think it's, you know, I'm like, come on. I mean, you know, it's kind of frustrating. But the good news is the park district, the school district, and I think the city are saying, well, yeah, if your house is worth more, you're going to pay more. That's just life. But the actual monetary amount of the levy is going down.
Yeah, we're trying to watch that. I mean, I think no matter any version that I've been looking at this week with the city staff, we will remain under the levy amount that was here for the city prior to me being sworn in as mayor. So we may have an increase just to make sure we have adequate reserves moving forward, but I'm not looking at any you know, doubling of the rates or anything like that. But we got to be prudent, fiscally responsible, you know, for keeping the city in good health.
Okay, well, thank you for the update on the streets today. Thank you for getting into the weeds on this budget issue, which is still has long time to go before it's settled out. But it's always great to see you. And we probably won't see you next month, because I think it falls like, I don't think you want to come on Christmas Day or anything like that, right?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, I think grandkids may prefer to see Santa.
I think so. So we'll probably talk to you again in January then.
Look forward to it.
Okay, thank you very much. The mayor of Quincy, Mike Trope. We're heading up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, and we want to talk about the cow sale. Listen up. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Don O'Brien is here, and we're going to talk about the Better Business Bureau. Boy, we're right in the thick of it. Everybody's ordering stuff online. Everybody is going to the store, these pop-up venue stores. And so we're wondering, is this a scam? Am I going to get scammed? Somebody was telling me the other day they saw the exact same item, exact same picture, advertised by two different sellers. Now, obviously, they both physically cannot have physical control of the exact same thing. So
yes.
This is the season to be scammed if we're not careful.
It is. And we this morning, fresh off the presses, our St. Louis office, we have a international investigations group, a guy who's out in New York that takes like a 30,000-foot view of scams and such and looks at things overall. And we looked at today, released something about online sales. and some really eye-popping numbers. Last year, scammers found new targets on social media with popular items such as beauty products, Tumblr mugs, those big ass cups that they talk about
on Saturday Night Live. What's the name of that? There's a name for that.
Stanley,
yeah. Yes.
125% rise in online shopping scams reported to BVB last year. So we're putting the word out, and this is the time of year. I think a lot of us now, Mary, are more comfortable shopping online than we were, let's say, 5 years ago. Obviously, the pandemic kind of spurred all that because a lot of things went online. So it used to be that your online shopper was somebody who probably skewed a little younger. They were a little bit more, internet or computer savvy. I know that you're still not an online shopper. You are still holding out.
Well, I still want to buy things locally. Correct. If I can. And so part of the reason I'm not an online shopper is if I'm going to buy it locally, I just go.
Correct.
But I like Domestics, et cetera. Great advertiser here on WTAD. Mm-hmm. A lot of people buy stuff off of their website. Now, to me, I'd rather just go down on 6th Street and look at it. But at least you're buying it from somebody you trust.
Correct. And the way you're doing it, your chances of being taken advantage of are minuscule.
Right.
And that, because you actually get to feel, you actually get to touch, you actually get to try it on if it's a garment or something. You get to see it. You maybe even get to... The number of people who buy vehicles online without ever having test driven the vehicle is amazing. And people... Okay, I guess there is some maybe a little bit more normalcy to that than there used to be. I'm kind of old school, and that I need to take it for a test drive.
Yeah. But I mean, again, I'm rolling a ball uphill. I'm Sisyphus. It's going to keep happening.
Yes.
So now the question is, how do we keep from being scammed? Because I'm not going to probably get scammed because I'm not participating. But a lot of people are, and as it becomes more and more and more the norm. Do you just, like I had somebody say, oh, I buy a lot of stuff online, and most of the time it turns out.
Most of the time.
It's like, when yes. I go to Hy-Vee today, and I get a steak, I want it to taste good. I went to Hy-Vee, and I got groceries, and most of the time I don't die of E. coli.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what? I when I buy something, I want it to be, the product to be stood behind.
I think sometimes we kind of check our critical thinking at the door when it comes to online shopping.
Well, because we see that car, and it's the color we want. It's got the package we want.
And we see that, we see this mug, if you will, the hot mug, the tumbler,
anywhere.
You can't get anywhere else. And all of a sudden, well, gosh, I saw that online here at $45. It's only $29.95 over here. I'm going to go buy it over here. When that place that is $29.95, $15 cheaper, the website's been around for literally 15 minutes, mm-hmm. and they just popped
it's
it up.
Counterfeit.
Correct.
It's not really a mug.
So yeah. Those, so you've
mug.
Got to you've got to do your research. I mean, I'm a broken record every time I come on here. And I said, people, we got to use our heads. We've got to use our research. We've got to use our critical thinking skills to make sure that we're not ripped off. I don't know what the hot toy is, but you know, whatever is this year's Cabbage Patch Kids. I guess I went really, really old school there. But you've really got to, if you're dealing with a website you haven't dealt with before, you have to find out if it's legitimate or not. These websites can look really good. Of course, we have artificial intelligence now in the mix.
Yeah.
And you can just say, hey, make me a good-looking website for tumblers. And they could probably do that in, less time that takes me to say the sentence. So, again, we've just really seen a lot of things. Social media is a big driver of this. This reports that we came
well,
out with
like
today.
This, somebody yes. bought, sent $40 for a political T-shirt.
Yes.
Saying it would go directly to the candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not only didn't it go to the candidate, they never even got the T-shirt.
No.
And here's another one.
Yep.
They wanted a rare truck part, and they found it online. They needed a refundable $350 insurance fee to ship the part. Stuff like that. It's just amazing. But, again, these criminals have nothing but time on their hands. And this is what they do all day, every day.
And there's a couple things you can do to research some of these things. If you're going to online and you're dealing with a place you've never dealt with before, see if they have an address. And it's amazing. There's a thing, Google has a thing called Google Maps. and you can put the address in. You can put the address of the radio ranch in right now. And it would not only take you from way above, they have something called Street View. So you can go and you can see, well, is WTAD really located at whatever the address is here? Mm-hmm. So you could go, you could take that, not only the bird's eye view, but you can take a street view. You can see, well, gosh, they say this part, this car parts place that's going to give me my rare whatever part that we just lost our $350
is
bucks
at 329
on.
Main, but I'm looking in there and that
and there's
looks
nothing.
Like a radio
or there's
station,
a, you
or
know,
yeah.
We had one a couple of years ago that there's this place that was selling National Football League goods, like, you know, stuff for the Chiefs, Bears, Rams, yeah. Whatever it might be, and it was supposedly in Chesterfield. Well, I do a search, middle of a cornfield. But we were receiving a lot of complaints about mm-hmm. this because people were not checking it. They were sending their money in, more than likely through electronic forms of payment. Again, at this time of year, you're going to want to pay with a credit card. Now, I know some people don't like credit cards because, you know, they have interest fees and all that stuff. But if you pay it off at the end of the month, you don't have to worry about any of that. But if you buy this T-shirt, if you buy that rear car part.
Discover stands behind me. If I get scammed, they take it off my bill.
All of them do. They have. You can do a reversal of charges on there. So instead of trying to pound the money out of you, they then go to the vendor and get the money back from them. But if you pay with those electronic forms of payment, it's just like handing over the cash to someone. So if you use things like Cash App, Zelle, Venmo, those types of things, you know, you better know who's on the other end of that. Now, Mary, I know you. If I wanted to Cash App you $20, because I know you're a big Cash App person. she laughs.
You can do that, Don. I'd never get the money because I don't have the app. But, you know, that's a great way to pay me and never pay me. Yeah.
But, you know, someone you know, if you're dealing with someone you know, then
oh, sure,
you're
yeah.
fine. But, if you send it into the ether to someone you don't know for that T-shirt or whatever it is, you know, I had a young lady from one of the high schools here in town. Every January, I go out to John Wood Community College, they have a college fair, and I talk about Better Business Bureau and with a bunch of high school sophomores. And I said, has anybody ever been taken advantage of shopping online? And more young people mm-hmm. get taken advantage of. And this young girl was trying to buy a dress for her for a dance. She Cash Apped, I believe it was that, $250 for this dress she saw on TikTok. Never got the dress. Couldn't get her money back because she had used that electronic form of payment. Yeah.
Lesson learned. The Better Business Bureau. Hey, we just had your three great local people that were Torch Award winners. I hope you know them because I can't remember them.
Yes.
I know Mr. K's Fabric Shop was
Mr.
one.
Mr. K's was one of our winners. We had Keck Plumbing.
Yeah.
And we also had Tiger Hawk Technologies. They're all won the Torch Awards for Ethics. All three of those have been accredited business with us. And, you know, they're honored for being going kind of above and beyond what they're doing. They were nominated for that award. We give out three of those every year. And, you know, it's a pleasure being able to honor people. And again, you talk about doing business locally. Here are three businesses. You know, all of them have been around. I mean, Mr. K's just celebrated 50 years in business.
Right.
I believe Keck has been doing plumbing forever. And then Tiger Hawk's been around for about 20 years now. And they have actually locations in Hannibal and here in Quincy. So, you know, these are good businesses that, you know, that do the right thing. They go the extra mile for their customers. Especially I think we've all had plumbing issues before. And I'm not just touting Keck because they're doing that. But, you know, when you have a plumbing issue, it's like, oh, my gosh, we don't schedule that expense. You know, he makes sure that he talks to people through the entirety of from step one of the problem's done until they identify it and that stuff to make sure they know what's coming their way. Same thing with Mr. K's. They're always telling you, and that, you know, communication is big in all three of those businesses. They're
right.
Transparent. They tell you what's going to happen. Those
if
are the kind of
problem. They fix it.
Correct. They want those are the ones. Those are the kinds of businesses you want to deal with because there's not going to be any hidden surprises. You're going to know from step one through step 101 if there's that many steps on what's happening with you in that business.
The Better Business Bureau folks, they are there to help you. They've got a scam tracker. They've got all kinds of great things. How can we get more information about the Better Business Bureau?
Obviously, if you're going to go online, you can go get us at bbb.org or give me a call. I take all kinds of calls at 217-209-3972.
Thank you very much, Don O'Brien from the Better Business Bureau.